It is good to be with you this morning for worship. And before we get started, I have a few announcements I'd like to make. First, I'd just like to highlight the two things that are on the front of your bulletin this morning. The first, of course, being that next Sunday, during this hour, we will be led in worship by the world-renowned, highly acclaimed Bethune-Cookman University Concert Chorale. And you won't want to miss that. They are simply amazing. And David Allen will be back with them, so it'll be good to have them here with us during 9:40 and 11. Also wanted to remind everyone that Lent is just around the corner, believe it or not. And so we're still in need of devotionals for our Lenten devotional series, How I See Jesus. And if you've been a contributor before, please consider contributing again. Or if you're a writer at heart and you've never contributed before, maybe this is the time for you to do it. There's the information there. Email them to jimcook@trinitygnv.org. It's also in your bulletin. But that deadline is Friday, January 29th, so we can get the materials together in front of Ash Wednesday. You also notice the Connect card inside your bulletin. We ask everybody to fill that out. If you're here for the first time today, we welcome you. Especially would like for you to fill it out just so that we can reach out and see what questions you might have about our church or how we can be of assistance to you. But those are all the announcements that I have. We do have a couple of things that we need to do this morning. The first being, I'm going to invite Dave Unitas and Janice McNair up. They are members of the Celebration Committee, and they're going to tell you more about what that is and why they're speaking to you now. So welcome, guys. Okay.
Thank you, Aaron. Yes, as Aaron said, how many of you are aware that Dan Johnson is retiring? Anybody? Have you heard about that? Anyhow, well, we have put together a committee that we're calling the Celebrate Dan and Jan Committee. And it's not that, he's retiring that we're celebrating that he's leaving, but the fact that we'd like to celebrate all the contributions that Dan has made to the community and to our church and to our spiritual life. So just working with great people. I get the privilege of working with Janice and with Alice Wallace. I'm not going to go through and name everybody, but we're putting together a really wonderful celebration party, I guess I'd like to call it. It's going to be on June 4th, so mark the date, June 4th, 2016. It'll go from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and from 11 to 12, we're going to have, it'll take place in here, we're going to have movies, videos, testimonials, a little ribbing, all sorts of fun things with Dan and Jan. And after that, from 12 to 2, we're going to have a luncheon here also in the Worship Center. And it's going to be very similar to the luncheon that we had during the mortgage burning ceremony. So it's going to be a great time, and I hope you can all make it. I'm going to turn the mic now over to Janice, and she's going to tell you a little bit about the website that has been put together.
Good morning, everyone. So if you look up at the screen, you'll see a website that the wonderful Kelly Ping has prepared for the Celebration Committee. And it's a sort of a one-stop place for information if you need some, or if you know someone who lives out of town and isn't here every Sunday, you can send them the link and they can keep up with what's going on. But basically it's a place where if you are available to volunteer, because you know the mortgage burning arrangement will need a lot of volunteers, then you can do that there. You can RSVP, since we're serving a meal, we'll need to know how many people are coming, so please go ahead and RSVP on that link. And you can click to make a donation, and just to let you know, the donation will go to a mission chosen by Dan and Jan, which is the Asbury Theological Seminary and the Russian Theological Seminary that Dan works with often, and a monetary gift for Dan and Jan for our appreciation, and also defraying some of the cost of the event itself. Let's see. The other thing that's there on the right-hand side on the black, that is a suggested type of gift if you're someone who's not quite sure how to show them your appreciation. Someone on the celebration committee came up with the idea of a scrapbook. So everyone can take a cardstock sheet and either put photos that remind you of Dan, like of baptisms or confirmations or just Dan being silly somewhere doing something he wouldn't want to be seen doing. You can put that on there just as a memory for Jan. You can put a note. You can put a card. Anything you'd like to put in there. And we'll put them in sleeves and put them all in a book so they can have it as a keepsake and look back on it and with fond memories of their time at Trinity. So it's an exciting time for us as a church. It's bittersweet, you know, but we want to make sure that they know we appreciate them and love them. And if you want to know what to do, you can go to this website. It will come available on Tuesday. It will be in the Tuesday Word. A link will be there for you to click on.
Again, so mark the date, June 4th. Oops, I almost forgot it. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, David and Janice. Just around the corner. Time now for our mission box, and this morning our mission box is for Project Nicaragua, and we have with us Deanna Horst and Carolyn Habus. They're from the University of Florida College of Medicine to share about their mission box this morning.
Hello, good morning. My name is Carolyn. This is Deanna. We're first-year medical students at the University of Florida, and we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about our trip, Project Nicaragua. We go there every year in the beginning of March for our spring break. This year we're going to Manachapa. And while there, we work with the Christian Medical and Dental Association to give medical and dental services to the people of Nicaragua. We put a team together of physicians, medical students, dentists, pharmacists, pastors, nurses. And we work there in different services such as dental as well as surgical. We give prenatal care to the women of Nicaragua. We also have a children's ministry, so we'll bring different items down with us and we'll share the word of God with the children. It's a really great opportunity to shadow the doctors and kind of see how they put faith in the way they practice so that when we're physicians, we can try and find a way to share that with our patients. So not only are we providing medical care to a lot of people who've never had it before, but we do get to share the gospel with a lot of people who've never heard it before as well. So how this works, the patients come to see us a lot of time for eyeglasses, optometry care, and we as medical students get to pray with each and every one of them. We ask them if they would like to do that, and they also come in with after having taken a little survey just about their faith, and if they've never heard the gospel of Jesus, then we are able to share that with them. And last year, we had over 600 patients accept Jesus Christ, which is a huge praise, and we hope to do a similar thing this year over our week's stay there. And so we also do outreach to the children as well with the children's ministry. And the last spiritual aspect is ourselves, and like she was saying, trying to incorporate our faith into our practice. We start off each day with a devotional, really to just get us in the right mindset of why we're there, why we're serving this community in Nicaragua, to further the kingdom of God. And so that's why we're here today. We're asking for your prayers and also your donations. We have to raise $2,200 each as medical students to go on this trip. And just really anything you could give would be greatly appreciated. And we thank you for your time and letting us come to your beautiful church. Thank you.
Thank you guys very, very much. And so if you do feel led to partner with them financially, please do so at any of the five Mission Box locations at the back of the worship center as you leave this morning. And I just want to clarify, this is a team that's going from the University of Florida during the University of Florida spring break in the beginning of March. Trinity is also sending a team on a medical mission trip during the public school spring break later in March during Holy Week, which is what the paper bags were for last week with the collection of the aspirin and stuff like that. And those items are listed inside and due by January 29th. So, good stuff happening amongst the college and high school students here in Gainesville and Nicaragua in March, and we're grateful to be able to participate with them. So that's announcements and celebration committee and mission box time now to turn our attention to this tradition that we have here. We hope that everyone who joins us for worship feels this way about Trinity, but welcome home.
Holy God, we praise your name, Lord of all.
while we are standing, as an act of worship, let us declare our faith using this Korean Methodist affirmation. We believe in one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testaments as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service, in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society, and in the family of God where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Be seated.
It's a joy to celebrate the sacrament of baptism with the Minari family. We invite Clint and Aaron to come forward with their friends and relatives for the baptism of Nolan and Laurel. And we're excited that our K-5 children have come to join us this morning. We learned last week about the sacrament of baptism in Sunday school, and so we invited them to come forward and see a baptism here right at Trinity.
Very cool. Well, welcome. Welcome. And I would like your family to please come up here. And baptisms are so special and sacred, and we want everybody to be able to see, including the gentleman taking pictures up in the booth for you, and for these kids who are here to witness this morning. And so, Clint and Aaron, since... oh, there. Yes. I'm like, what is he? Since Laurel and young Nolan cannot answer these questions for themselves, you as the parents have the responsibility. So I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the Church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Laurel and Nolan in Christ's holy Church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? All right. She has the water now. We have... which one's going to go first? Ladies first?
Ladies first?
Ladies first? Laurel first. Okay, and let me pray a blessing over this water. Almighty God, pour out your Spirit on this gift of water. By your Spirit, may you bless this water and these children, that they might grow in grace to become faithful followers of your Son, Jesus the Christ. In Jesus' name. So, would you like to hold the water? So, I don't really want. You mind if I hold her while I do the baptism? Will she let me?
Yeah.
Okay. Will you let me? You are so pretty. Oh my goodness. All right. Do we want to remove her hat? Oh, you get to put it back on in just a minute. Laurel, Kathleen, Minari, I baptize you in the name of the Father. In the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, work within you that you might grow to become a faithful follower of Jesus,
Amen. Good job. Got it on your nose. I'm sorry. Here you go. She didn't cry. This is the first
one in a while that didn't cry. So, all right. You want to come to me? Is that all right? I've got a... You're three, right? How old are you?
Almost.
You want mommy to hold you? That's fine. You look a little uncertain. So we'll just do this way. Nolan John Minari, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, work within you that you might grow to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. And now, church, you have a response to make to these children. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Would you guys mind walking up onto the stage with your kids and raising them high for all to see, and we might welcome them into the church. Welcome your new brother and sister in Christ, everybody. Yeah. It's good? Yeah. And we will sing Jesus Loves You as we go. So if you go now. Yeah.
Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong and you'll serve Him all night long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
What a blessing and privilege it is to, as a pastor, to participate in the sacrament of holy baptism. So very cool this morning. We have now an opportunity to unite our hearts together and to go to God in prayer. And so we have the names of a couple of people who are in rehab that still need our prayers for healing. There are some people who went in the hospital over the weekend. I don't have their names right now, but we'll be letting you know about that. We also want to keep in prayer the Williams family. Gene Service was here yesterday at 3. We want to remember Phyllis Mawinney and her family. Bob Mawinney's service will be in the chapel on Saturday at 2. And I thought you might like to know something else that you can be in prayer about this week is that the Board of Ordained Ministry of the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church is meeting in Leesburg, Florida this week to interview pastoral candidates for deacon orders and elder orders. Our very own Esther Rodriguez is going before the Board of Ordained Ministry for her interview for ordination in full connection. This is the final step in the process for her, and that is on Wednesday morning, so you want to remember her. And then my own wife, Lenora, is actually entering in. This is her first appearance before the Board of Ordained Ministry, seeking provisional membership as an elder. Her interview is on Friday. And so that's just very important work that the board does, and keep them and all of the candidates in your prayers this week. Today, yes, Joanne Thayer, she's one of the ones that's in the hospital. She's in intensive care. Today is Human Relations Day. And on the eve of Martin Luther King Day, I thought it would be appropriate for us to use a pastoral prayer about that. So as we pray today, keep all of these things that I've mentioned, all of the things that you've brought with you yourself this morning in prayer, but let us prepare now to go to God in prayer. Thank you. speak, Lord, for your children are listening. Listening for a word of encouragement, for a word of instruction about how we ought to live in these troubled times. Speak, Lord, for your children are listening. We are listening, rich and poor. We are listening, young and old, for a word from you that will heal our land. Eternal God, lover of our souls, we come to you this morning hungering for something from you that will change the rest of our lives. We come hungering for honesty instead of corruption, for generosity instead of greed. We come hungering for integrity instead of intrigue. We come hungering for our neighbors to be fed and for all to have enough honest work to provide for the basic needs of their families. We come this morning hungering for righteousness to flow like rainwater and for the justice like an ever-flowing stream described by the prophets. We come hungering and we come listening for your words to us, describing how we can participate in your great work of recreation. We come listening for ways that we can become part of the solution and not part of the problem. We come listening in fear and trembling, praying that we will have the courage to respond and act if we hear a clear word of instruction from you. So speak, Lord, for your children are listening. And now let us pray together how you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You are the one who is 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 the one who is
We have the opportunity now to worship God with our offering. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward. And as they do, I'm going to lift up this offertory prayer that was also written especially for Human Relations Day. O Lord our God, how precious is each person you created in your image. We can never give an accounting of the true worth of a human being. You alone know how highly you value every person. For the price of redeeming the world cost the life of your Son. Help us to be people who restore relationships. Use us and our offerings, these tithes and these financial gifts, to fulfill the mission of your church. We pray in the name of Christ our King. Of your people. Amen. Please be seated. If you read Pastor Dan's daily scripture email, you know he has been walking us verse by verse through Joshua chapter 1. As a worship planning team, we felt that this chapter would make a great theme to start the new year and lead us into Lent with its story of the passing of the mantle of leadership from Moses to Joshua, and the change in leadership we ourselves are facing in a few months when Dan retires. Joshua 1:9 in particular is one of those go-to verses, serving as a life verse for many people, myself included. In it, God tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Dan remarked to me the other day that the idea that God is with us wherever we go has been resonating with him as he's reflected on where we've been already and where we've yet to go between now and Lent. Last week, we received a reminder that God is with us here in Gainesville and at the University of Florida when we were privileged to witness the personal faith and deep commitment of the university president. Next week, we'll have the privilege of being led in worship by the concert chorale from Bethune-Cookman University. God is with us and the students of BCU through the alliance between the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church and the university. As we reflect on the life and witness of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whom we remember on tomorrow's holiday, we realize that race relations have improved from where they were 50 years ago, but we still have such a long, long way to go. So we continue to do our part through the work of Faith Mission in East Gainesville. On January 31st, Dan will preach and celebrate Accessibility Sunday. You know, we here at Trinity, we do our best to create an accepting, warm, welcoming, and safe environment for people of all abilities. Our accessible playground is a testament to that fact. And then finally, on February 7th, the last Sunday before Lent, Dan will be joined by James Islam, who will share his story of his son, Private First Class Josh Islam, who died 2 years ago in a Special Forces training exercise. His family set up the Joshua 1-9 Foundation in his honor, which has given out dog tags with Joshua 1-9 inscribed on them, and will be giving one to each of us on that Sunday. So that is the landscape of this series on Joshua chapter 1, and it's time now for me to share what God has placed on my heart for today. But before I get there, I wanted to take a minute to share a brief synopsis of the history that precedes this morning's passage to give it some context. The people of Israel had been landless for almost 500 years. The fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his 12 sons, they'd been nomads in the land of Canaan. That was followed by over 400 years of slavery in Egypt, which ended with the miraculous deliverance into freedom that was led by Moses. We know that as the Exodus story. And then 40 years in the desert that Eugene Peterson called testing and training for living as a free people under God's guidance and blessing. Now, as the story goes, God promised Moses that the people of Israel would be given a promised land flowing with milk and honey. But unfortunately, Moses would not see this land for himself. Moses would die before they entered the promised land, and it would be up to his successor, Joshua, to lead the Israelites there. So this is where we pick up today's story, and this is what I call the Great Commissioning, the story of God choosing Joshua. Hear now the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Be strong and courageous. Three times between verse 6 and verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Joshua, one of the great leaders of the Bible in his own right, had pretty big shoes to fill following Moses. He must have needed a significant amount of encouragement because this wasn't the first time Joshua heard the words, be strong and courageous. He actually first heard them from both Moses and God near the time of Moses' death back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31. And then Joshua actually hears these words again one more time at the end of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 18. I get the impression that God was making a point. A point God indeed wanted to be abundantly clear to Joshua, but a point today for us as well. Be strong and courageous. When it comes to following God, wherever God is leading us, God wants us to essentially do two things, trust and obey. Now, someone who has a history of trust issues and a tendency to resist authority, answering God's call to trust and obey hasn't always come easily and hasn't always gone well. But mostly it's gone wrong when I've tried to do things my way, relying on my own devices rather than the promises and faithfulness of God. And here in these verses, God was sure to give Joshua some very necessary reminders. First, Joshua had a promise in God's stated purpose. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Next, Joshua had the promise of God's presence with him. In verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then finally, Joshua had the promise of God's faithfulness. He could count on God to see things through. Verse 6, you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So, what does God require of Joshua in response to these commitments that God himself is making? One thing, something simple, but by no means easy. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. In other words, in no way did God want discouragement or fear to cause Joshua to hesitate or disobey. Something I recall to my memory quite often is a question that the vice president I used to work for in financial services used to ask our sales team. What would you do if you had no fear? Have you ever pondered that question or one like it? It really can be quite a powerful thing to consider. What would you do if you had no fear? My VP was using it to help motivate financial advisors to push through their fear of rejection, clients saying no to their sales pitches, to get outside of their comfort zones and increase their sales levels. But over the years, I've used this question in ways my VP probably would never have imagined. In fact, when I first felt God calling me to ordained ministry, I pondered that very question. While my initial response was, are you really calling me to be a pastor? I'd really like to believe that, but I'm afraid to. I discovered that the reality was that if I had no fear, I would leave financial services with its healthy salary and benefits package that easily supported my family to go to seminary full time. while working part-time, making only $15,000 a year with no benefits. Also, I could be a pastor in the United Methodist Church. God simply wanted me to faithfully trust and obey. And once I did, God showed me more faithfulness and His provision for my family. We never lacked for anything. And getting me through that long season of preparation, then if I'm being honest with you this morning, I was prepared to receive from God. There were more than a few times when God blew my mind with how good He was to my family. And has continued to be, as my wife Lenora is now completing her journey and graduating from seminary in just a few months. You see, God's message at the heart of Joshua's call story is this: you be strong and courageous, and I'll take care of the rest, just as I promised. There's something else that I really love about this chapter. We didn't read the whole thing, but there's this movement of what I call this encouragement conversation that's going on. In verses 1 through 9, God is speaking to Joshua, and it culminates with that great final verse of encouragement. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That was just what Joshua needed to propel him into the next movement of this encouragement conversation. Because in verses 10 to 15, Joshua, as the new leader of the people of Israel, turns around and gives them their instructions, complete with reminders of God's promises as an encouragement. Which then leads into the final movement of this encouragement conversation. The people of Israel speak to Joshua in verses 16 to 18. After receiving his instructions and encouragement, they turn around and acknowledge Joshua as their new leader, telling him they will faithfully obey and do all that he has asked. And the best part is that they conclude by encouraging Joshua in the same way God had encouraged him. Be strong and courageous. I love that image of community at the end of this story. Yes, God Himself encouraged Joshua, but then the people of Israel offered encouragement of their own. And that is how it should be for us. We read in God's Word this story and find encouragement to be strong and courageous. But we also gather together, like we do here on Sunday mornings, and God relies on us to encourage one another. And that, to me, is invaluable. It's safe to say that most of us, somehow, some way, struggle with negative self-image and self-talk that can be exacerbated by what we see in the world and the culture around us. For example, I regularly compare myself to other pastors. And it's so easy to become discouraged. But what an amazing gift we can offer each other through encouragement. When we encourage, it's as though we actually infuse courage into someone else. Encouragement can provide people with strength to look ahead, to move forward, reach for their goals and their dreams. And the whole emotional tone of an extremely tough life situation can be transformed through the power of encouragement. Somehow things seem a little brighter. The truth is, like Joshua, we are all chosen and called by God for a very specific purpose. For me, that specific purpose is to be a husband, a father, and a pastor. So God calls me to be strong and courageous in my marriage, in my parenting, and in my pastoral vocation. Again, if I'm being honest with you, I'm most confident in my marriage, mostly because Lenora has a gift for bringing out the best in me. So being strong and courageous there comes pretty easily. I'm also fairly comfortable with who I believe God has called me to be as a pastor. Hopefully not in an overly confident or prideful sort of way, but with a sincere understanding of what I believe I can offer the church. Even so, I am working at becoming a more courageous pastor. No, at the end of the day, where I feel weak and most fearful is in my calling as a father, especially because they are preacher's kids. You know what I'm saying. And it would be bad enough if there was just one preacher, but both of their parents are preachers. Seriously, though, my first job out of high school was in loss prevention at a major department store arresting shoplifters. Didn't scare me. I spent 8.5 years on nuclear submarines, months at a time not seeing sunlight or breathing fresh air. Didn't faze me a bit. I worked as a tax collector for the IRS in the city of Miami. That scared me. Quite a bit, actually. I've done a lot of things in my life, and none of them scare me the way being a dad does. It's such a huge responsibility. But you know what? By talking to friends and other parents, my middle schooler's youth minister in particular has been a huge help. I've received encouragement that has helped so much. I mean it. I've felt stronger and more courageous because of the help I've received from the people God has placed in my life. As followers of Jesus, we have every reason to be courageous, no matter how dark the circumstances of our life may be. We can all look back and know that God is faithful and has provided all that we needed in the past. God promised to be with Joshua in difficult times, as I was with Moses, he said. That promise is for us too. God's second admonition to obey is just as applicable. If we walk in obedience and love with our Lord and Savior, we can trust that He will give us courage. In spite of all our doubts and fears, God is patient and persistent in His encouragement. We only need eyes to see and ears to hear. God is with us wherever we go and in whatever we do. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Maybe you have doubts and fears about things you're experiencing in your own personal life. Well, now is the time for courage. And I'm sure that many of you have doubts and fears about the changes that will happen at your beloved church in the months to come. Has God not commanded us? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord our God will be with us wherever we go. The psalmist, too, gives us a wonderful reminder about all this. In Psalm 27, verse 14, Psalm 27, verse 14, I invite us to make it our prayer together this morning. And maybe this can be a breath prayer for you in the weeks ahead. Hope in the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Hope in the Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Those of you who are going to help serve communion this morning, will you please come and make the stations ready as I pray? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or the United Methodist Church at large. It is an open table in our church of communion, and you simply come as the Spirit prompts you to come, but all is ready. Please come.
Oh,
As always, it is truly a beautiful thing to gather in this space with you for the worship of God, and I'm grateful for this day. I invite you now to please stand and take the hand of someone near you and receive this blessing and benediction for the week that lies ahead. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace and courage. Amen.
May God's blessing surround you each day. As you trust Him, walk in Him.